but there's no excuse for anyone to work harder than you do. Legendary Sports Talk. Melnick in the Afternoon. TSN 690.
Yeehaw! Ever been reported dead?
Well, I woke up still not dead again today. The internet said I had passed away. Well, if I died, I wasn't dead to stay. I woke up still not dead again today. Woke up still not dead again.
We're still here too. Melnick in the Afternoon, hour number 4, along with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick until 7 o'clock. Then we got the Blue Jays, the suddenly hot Toronto Blue Jays, and the Atlanta Braves. Early in the week, last week.
Yeah, and in the background.
No Robert Redford?
I don't know my metaphor.
Robert,
the background is a Zamboni.
What's a Zamboni? Structure.
The machine they used to
get the ice.
Oh, the ice. Yeah. The ice apparently, the guy who invented the Zamboni from Utah? Is this
really? How you know that?
Because Alex made the picture, man.
That's the thing about it. Speaking of Zamboni, thank God for the NHL playoffs. That's what I'd be watching in the back instead of these blowouts.
Well, whatever.
Sir Charles Barkley's opinion of the NBA playoffs at that point. Welcome back. Every Monday after 6. We are joined, he is normally just off the set of the reporters on TSN in Scarborough, Ontario, not far from the airport, award-winning writer and broadcaster Michael Farber. How are you, Michael?
I'm terrific. Do I have time to tell the story about how the Montreal Star nearly killed Red Story?
You have all the time to tell whatever you want. That's why you're on with us.
Well, Red Fisher wrote something, and events overtook what he had written, and he told the desk to call the composing room and say to kill that story is going to send a new one. So they called down and said, Red Story's dead.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and they started preparing an obit for, at that point, the very much alive Red Story, the great referee, and of course he was a terrific athlete as well. So Red Story's dead. And no one's ever killed me. Yet, we're still here, but the Zamboni, I believe, was invented in California, and the first time the Zamboni made an appearance at the Montreal Forum was on March 10th, I believe, either 1957 or 1958, and I know this because in the Farber household, we celebrate March 10th as Zamboni Day. When the kids were little, we'd have a cake, we'd play arena rock in the house, we'd eat hot dogs and arena food for dinner. When you have a mixed family situation with holidays, what's a holiday everybody can get behind? So I invented Zamboni Day.
Oh, this has potential, Michael. And did you ever bring the kids around for a Zamboni ride through Verdun?
We've never done that. But even now, and my kids are grown and off and doing their own things, I get an email from them on March 10th wishing me a happy Zamboni Day.
Well, that's a great thing. You know, in our St. Patrick's Day parade, we march behind a Zamboni this patch. Yeah. So I know we can get one for you. If you ever need a Zamboni, seriously, to celebrate Zamboni Day, let us know.
Well, you know what? That's sounds like a thing.
Okay, so let's work on that for the next Zamboni Day in the Farber household. But what about Sir Charles? At that point, there was all blowouts all the time, it seemed, in the NBA.
Well, in fact, if we're looking at this from a macro point of view, the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs, the NHL is a ball of confusion. It's wild, it's wacky, it's wonderful. We've had the faint echoes of 1993 with the 6 overtime wins by the Ottawa Senators. Montreal, of course, had 10 straight overtime wins. Patrick Waugh, that magical spring, so very long ago. We don't know who's going to win. We have an 8th seed that could get to a Stanley Cup final and indeed win it in Nashville. We saw that in 2012. We basically don't know, and most games are thrilling, most games are close, and it's wide open. Now, where is it going ultimately? It might be going to an Ottawa Nashville final, which would thrill people in those cities, and I suspect leave a lot of other people, including NHL fans, cold. What is the NBA doing? Essentially, it's going through this long pantomime so Golden State can play Cleveland in the final. It's building to something. It's something that seems inevitable, even more so now that Kawhi Leonard has injured his ankle again. I can't see San Antonio beating Golden State. I can't see the winner tonight of Boston or Washington beating Cleveland. So it's building to something, and I think most basketball fans, and indeed most sports fans, want to see the two best teams in the game play once again. So that's you pick your poison. And I've always believed, and I've expressed this to you before, that circus teams are great for sport. It's one of the reasons I'm not a big fan of the salary cap, because you can't keep NHL teams together because of cap considerations. But once you build a strong team, you should be able to keep it, and teams need to get better and beat that team. And I think that's what drives everything. But watching the playoffs to this point, I'll go with Sir Charles. I'll take the NHL.
I agree with you on that front. It's something we've also talked a lot about with Gord Miller through the years about the, can you imagine how good the Blackhawks would have been?
Sure.
Without a salary cap, without having to rip apart a good chunk of the team every year?
Yeah, and Stan Bowman, who was put into cap jail by Dale Talon, who was the general manager at the time. Talon made some great things happen in Chicago, but Stan Bowman had to kind of unknot this ball of yarn that he had. You know, it was a really nice ball of yarn. It might have been cashmere. But he still had to figure a way out of that predicament, and he did, and he's done a great job. But yeah, look at the 2002 Stanley Cup winners, the Detroit Red Wings, who have 9 Hockey Hall of Famers on it and might have a 10th someday, Pavel Datsyuk. We're not going to see that ever again. Now, some of those guys obviously were at the tail end, Brett Hull, Luke Robitaille, etc. But it was still a fun team to put together. And if Mike Ilitch was going to spend the money, I'm all for that. And competitive games are great, but we seem to dumb things down. And if you happen to have the McDonald's on the wrong corner, you're in a vegan neighborhood, that's going to hurt. But why can't the best teams, the richest teams, go out and spend money to the way they see fit, a la, say, the Premier League in England, soccer?
How do you, in terms of numbers, you're right. The Ottawa Senators, as soon as they won that game on Saturday with Bobby Ryan scoring in overtime, so that, what are they, 6-1 in overtime?
Yep.
So everybody's thinking, man, this is like 93, you know, with all those overtime. But in that way, yes, I understand it, but you don't really... Do you really see Ottawa taking this to the end here?
I think they've got a chance to beat Pittsburgh. Go look at what Pittsburgh has on the blue line right now and what it had a year ago when it won a Stanley Cup. There's one top five defenseman still there, and that's Brian Dumoulin. If you go back to Game 6 of Pittsburgh series against Washington, the absence of Chris Letang was very obvious. They couldn't make a pass. They couldn't feed those forwards. I think it's very possible that Ottawa upsets Pittsburgh completely, certainly within the realm of possibility. The 1-3-1 is a difficult system to play against because you don't play against it that much. I'm sure Pittsburgh's power play is going to be a lot better tonight. I expect it to be a long series. But when you look at a beat-up defense, now bad defenses can win Stanley Cups as well. And Jim Rutherford, the GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins, knows that as well as anybody. You can go back and see the defense he won with Carolina in 06 with Aaron Ward, Mike Commodore on that defense, Brett Hedick and Glenn Wesley, Frank Caberle, Nick Wallin. And that was their top six. So you can get by. There are all kinds of ways to win a Stanley Cup. And I can see Ottawa getting by Pittsburgh. An upset, sure. But certainly within the realm of possibility.
Should point out that Trevor Daley did skate on his own for about an hour before the teams hit the ice, both teams, for practice this morning. So there's a chance that he might play tonight. Meantime, further out west.
You know, he's a skilled player, and I play the game hard, and obviously he doesn't like that.
He just blows my mind. I mean, watching, I don't know what's going through his head out there, but like his family and his friends watching him play, I don't know how you cheer for a guy like that. I mean, it just doesn't make sense how he plays the game. So, I'm just trying to go there and play hockey, and it sucks when you got to pull a stick out of your groin every shift.
Ryan Johansson of Nashville, Ryan Kessler of Anaheim. It is on after two games.
Yeah, some Ryan-on-Ryan crime. I mean, the thing with Ryan Kessler is he keeps reaching into his leotard and taking out that foreign object and whacking you over the head when the referee isn't looking. I mean, he is the ultimate wrestling heel. He is the bad guy. He relishes that. He's a piece of work. I mean, even at the end in Vancouver, he was a little much for some of his teammates. But he's revived himself in Anaheim. He's a guy I call a one-goal player because he's good enough offensively. You want him on the ice when you're down a goal, and he can get you a goal. But, you know, he's a real good defensive player, and he can prevent goals, and he can play against those top lines. He's an impact player in a lot of ways. And, I have a lot of time for that Ryan. I also have a lot of time for that other Ryan, and Ryan Getzlaff. Who is shooting the puck more. He has 8 goals. His shooting percentage is high, but he's become that big offensive force. And we should have seen this coming. Starting in early March, he caught fire. He had 42 points in his last 29 games. And you have to shoot the puck. Anaheim sometimes gets away from that, and Getzlaff has been shooting it again. Obviously, he's a great passer. We saw that. I think Nashville's going to be real sorry they let that game slip away. They're up 2-0. Gibson seems lost, and Pecorini chose that moment to have his worst game in the playoffs. On that one goal, I thought he was channeling his inner Tommy Salo, and he was ducking. Salo against Belarus in the 2002 Olympics, one of the most infamous goals in international hockey.
It's history. Funny you should say that, Michael, because Mitch Gallo first mentioned Andrew Hammond. When he was beaten by a PK Subban shot, he kind of ducked out of the way. Remember that a couple of playoffs ago? And you did mention Tommy Salo
Tommy
as well.
Tommy Salo came up twice today.
Wow. Tommy Salo, last I checked, had been the general manager at Leksand in a small city in central Sweden. It was in the Swedish Elite League. And then a year or two, he disappeared from that job. I've been trying to go over to Sweden a couple times for Sports Illustrated to do that. You know, where are they now story on Tommy Salo. It just hasn't happened, but I haven't given up on it because he was absolutely dragged through the mud. He was never the same. And when somebody ducks in net, I immediately flash back to that goal scored by Belarus late in the third from outside the blue line. And certainly that was the biggest upset in Olympic hockey history, way bigger than the Miracle on Ice. There was only one NHL player on that Belarus team, the late Rusty Soleil.
Wow. All right. Oh, we're down to about a minute here.
There are things that are going to happen now. That is a done deal. And the reason it's a done deal is that half the players on their team have expiring contracts. So
Pierre LeBrun with us last Thursday, though a change, big-time change is coming to the Washington Capitals as a result of another ouster unable to get past the second round of the playoffs. What do you think is going to happen?
I think Ovechkin stays because no GM can trade him. Only the owner can trade him. And Ted Leonsis and Alex Ovechkin are a partnership. Ovechkin's an employee. Yes, he makes $10 million in U.S. dollars. He makes $9.5 million or so on the salary cap. But Ovechkin is the guy who's chosen to build around. You don't often build around a winger, but Ovechkin's been the best goal scorer of his generation. San Jose stuck with Marlowe and Thornton, were rewarded by getting back to the final. Ovechkin is a much better player, even with a down year, than those guys. You change the pieces and keep looking for a solution. I think trading Ovechkin would be very difficult in terms of the finances and also emotionally for Ted Leonsis.
Belated happy Zamboni Day. We'll do it again next Monday.
Hey, thanks, Mitch.
Michael Farber with us every Monday after 6 on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Yeah, today. The gardener did not find me that way. You can't believe a word that people say. And I woke up still not dead again today. I run up and down the road, making music as I go. They say my pace would kill a normal man, but I've never been accused of being normal anyway. And I woke up still not dead again today.
Who else did they kill? Gordon Lightfoot was killed off, right? By the internet? Willie Nelson? Anybody else? David Hasselhoff? Was he killed? Or was he
probably just
ridiculed?
Yeah, both.
You gotta love Willie, one of my all-time favorite guitarists as well. When we come back, some sports business news on perhaps a revolutionary new helmet for NFL players with Lorne Rubin of Paramount Financial Services.
To my dismay. Don't bury me, I've got a show to play. And I woke up still not dead again today.
Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by the 2017 Subaru Forester, named Canadian Utility Vehicle.